From the KLYT broadcast studio, this is ABQ Connect.
Hey, thanks for joining us. Just a reminder, if you have an event with your organization, your church, that you'd like to see, or I guess hear, Theater of the Mind, if you're going to see it, have it announced on KLYT. Send all the details to studio at klyt.fm. I want to mention a couple of things coming up this weekend that may be of interest to you. Actually, three events this weekend. Albuquerque Christian Children's Home is having an open house and barbecue. If you're not familiar with the work that they do at Albuquerque Christian Children's Home, you really should go by and meet the staff, and there'll be water fun for the kids. As you know, I looked at the forecast, what we're going to be near triple digits today, and certainly in the upper to mid 90s for at least another week. So this weekend looks like a great weekend, starting at 11 o'clock. That's at the Albuquerque Christian Children's Home on Winter Haven. It's very close to the Montaño Coors intersection, but just do a search for Albuquerque Christian Children's Home, or go to ACCH, the number 4kids.org, ACCH4kids.org, and look for the details about the open house and barbecue this weekend. Then coming up this Sunday, the Dog Days of Summer adoption event. We've had Paws and Stripes in studio with us, and they're going to be at their headquarters here in Albuquerque this weekend, where you can meet some incredible puppies looking for loving homes and support rescue partners. It's pawsandstripes.org for details on that event. That's this Saturday morning at 10 o'clock. Now, listen, if you've never seen the one-person presentation, Corey Remembers, featuring Susan Sondager, that is going to be happening this weekend as well, Sunday, pretty much after everyone's out of church. It starts at 2 p.m. at First Baptist Church over on the west side. It's given a voice to the legacy of Corey Ten Boom. It's a free performance, but donations are welcome. And let me testify. If you've never been to see Susie do this, she's a local actress and actually does a lot of great work in ministry, her and her whole family. But Corey Remembers is really something to see. You've heard about it. We've aired the spots for several weeks. If you want to find out more about the presentation this weekend, Sunday at 2 p.m. at First Baptist Church, go to fbcabq.org. Full hour today with the New Mexico Business Coalition, Carla Sontag in studio. And Carla, always great to catch up.
Yes, it is. It's a pleasure to be here with you.
Have you ever happened to have seen Susie Sondager do that Corey Remembers?
I haven't.
It's fantastic. I mean, she's in character the whole time and dialogue.
Wow.
But telling the story of, are you familiar with Corey's story?
Oh, yes. I read the book.
Yeah. So Corey Ten Boom is who, you know, she portrays, accent and all. And what a fabulous presentation. A great time to reflect on forgiveness and trust in God.
Mm.
Appreciate everything that Susie does with that. Obviously, I keep talking about it. But at any rate, we have a lot to cover, Susie, Carla. Before we jump into that, let's make familiar for people who are not familiar with the work that you do. You're a regular guest just about every month on KLYT's ABQ Connect, representing both the New Mexico Business Coalition and Better Together New Mexico. For those not familiar, if you'd just kind of give them, bring them up to speed.
Well, New Mexico Business Coalition started 16 years ago, and our focus is better business policy, which impacts every person that lives in the state of New Mexico.
Yeah.
So it encompasses a lot more than just how businesses are regulated.
Right.
It covers crime and quality of life.
And most of us are consumers, and what impacts businesses is going to impact us.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
And Better Together was, it's a unification project is what I call it. It was bringing like-minded people together. We started this 4 years ago, and its purpose is to help inform the public through these different organizations. We have about 132 organizations now under that umbrella, all working together for a better New Mexico.
Nice. Well, and, you know, I'm sure this will be part of what we talk about today, but November 5th, by the way, is going to be a municipal election. I guess, would that be the right?
Yes. Way?
If you are not registered, you are encouraged to be registered to vote. And on November 5th, it's a Tuesday. If you haven't looked at the calendar yet, we would encourage you to get out and vote. You know, obviously, neither Carla nor I will sit here and tell you how to vote or who to vote for.
Right.
I'm not going to do that, but we will bring information to help you make a decision. And part of what we did, you know, in the general election, Carla, from Better Together New Mexico, we posted voter guides.
Yes.
Looking forward to that for the municipal election?
Yes.
Okay. And I'm sure on that line, you know, along those lines, we have plenty to talk about maybe even today.
Yeah. Well, already posted on our website are questionnaires that have been completed by the mayor and city council members. So you can go, that's at nmbizcoalition.org. Go there and see their answers to some very important questions.
By the mayor. Now, is it for the mayor or is it mayoral candidates, all of them?
Yeah, the candidates who responded. There were two who did not respond to the questionnaire, but most of them did that are on the ballot. So we didn't try to contact people who may be write-ins because we don't know if they'll write in or not.
Please don't write me in.
Yeah.
Not interested.
So you can find mayor and city council. You can also find a full copy of our poll that was taken that we'll be talking about today. But all that information is there that may be helpful to you as you're determining how to vote in the upcoming election because leadership matters.
Amen. Well, as I tell you often and pretty regularly, I can't think of a guest I haven't said this to. This is your megaphone. I mean, we're happy to have you here, but we know you have a message to give to the KLYT listener. And with that in mind, we have plenty of things to cover today. Let's do this. Let's preview what's coming up later. I'm going to let you do that and pick what we're going to start with, but also want to encourage people to pick up the phone and call. You can call us at 338-5790. Tayshawn will be there to take your call and get you on the air with us. You know, obviously, we want to, you know what, pre-read Ephesians 4:29 before you call, okay? We want what you have to call and say to be an encouragement that others hearing it, that they'd receive grace and be encouraged by what you have to share. Or ask if you got a question. The number, though, is 505-338-5790. And we can start lining up phone calls now if you want to call in. As a matter of fact, everyone calling in today, I've got a grab bag of books, good books that you'd want to have. So everyone calling today, Tayshawn will take your information to make sure we get that to you and make it available for you to pick up. Like in the next 2 weeks. Okay, Carla, little tease on what's coming up and where are we going to start?
Well, we're going to start with the poll that we took regarding the mayoral race coming up. And that kind of foreshadows everything else. When we talk about where Albuquerque ranks and why it's of concern that we're looking at leadership, and also Trump's latest executive order that actually impacts what we're doing in Albuquerque.
Well, you did a recent op-ed we're going to kind of walk through after talking about the survey. And, looking forward to hearing more about this executive order from our nation's president.
Yes.
Let's start with the survey. Tell us about the survey, when it was and who did it, and let's look at some results.
So we commissioned the poll in early July. It's been a couple of weeks, and that's an early time to do a poll, but we wanted to find out what is the sentiment of Albuquerque voters. And so the thing that I would point out that is important, the demographics of those who were surveyed.
Yeah. Let's go through that. And before we get to the actual results, we'll go to a break. But set up what we're going to cover after the break.
So the demographics are really important. You want to know who is being asked these questions, because does their opinion matter?
Right.
Because a lot of people have lost faith. And I will tell you, this is very important. This was not a push poll, meaning we did not give the voter information and then ask a question.
Yeah.
We were not trying to shape their opinion.
Whose input on this would matter?
I'm sorry?
Whose input on this would matter?
The voters, the people who, and that's who we selected, 529 people who have voted in the past elections and are likely to vote in this election because they matter. But then we broke it down and you'll see that it really follows what you expect, not only of voters, but of registration. So
this is voters that responded.
Exactly.
Not just people who are registered. This is part of the reason that, you know, I say when we talk about elections, please be registered to vote. And you know what? Actually vote.
Yeah.
There's a reason you register. I don't understand that. I don't understand registering and then, I'm registered, but no.
Yeah, and local elections don't pull a lot of people out, but I'm hoping that this one will because, you know, this, yes, it's Albuquerque, but the saying is, as Albuquerque goes, so goes the state. We have a large percentage of our population here. Most of the people around the state are coming to Albuquerque for business purposes, hospitals, doctors, maybe use the airport.
Yeah.
Albuquerque matters to just about everybody who lives here. And right now we've got some turmoil. We'll talk about that. Back to the demographics, though, we had 52% Democrat were contacted on this poll, 31% Republicans, and 17% nonpartisan.
Huh.
And that really does follow what you expect for the registration in Albuquerque.
Okay.
Yeah.
It kind of mirrors the population.
It does. And that's important. And it also mirrors what the voter turnout for the last election. And so, for example, we had 54% female, 46% male that turned out in the last election. So they were looking for that same number in this.
And that actually, that demo lines up with our listener base from what I see on our social media. It lines up with the demographic of our listeners who've connected with us on social media.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Well, that's great. And then they broke it down also by age. And we've got 29% in the 18 to 49-year-old range, 32% from 50 to 64, and 39% over. And that is kind of where you see people lining up that are voting. Older people tend to vote more.
I can speculate. Why do you suppose that is?
Well, you know, that is something that we're working on right now. Younger people really don't want to get political. To me, voting, it's a political process, but it is your life that you're talking about.
Yeah. You know what? I may be wrong, but I think a lot of times when people say, look, I don't want to get into politics, I really think what they mean is I don't want to have a conversation that's potentially confrontational or where we're going to disagree on something. They're just trying to avoid no science behind that. I'm just speculating that, just get the feeling when people say, and then they'll say something else, go, well, so clearly you want to be political. Anyway, just a thought.
There is some of that. And some of it is just that people feel like if I focus on my life, that other stuff will just take care of itself.
Oh, yeah.
And maybe it will if you vote. If you get the right people in to take care of it, then you don't have to worry about decisions coming at you.
Yeah. I mean, I guess it would be safe to say to anyone, any individual listening that is, you know, I'm just going to do me and everyone else can figure out, and I'll just go with the flow, whichever direction. There is for sure a group of people in different groups that have an agenda that they want to put onto this community. And, you know, I'm not saying good or bad. There's several, there's different parties and there's different groups. They have a vision for where they want this state, this city, this county to go, this nation, this world to go. I guess it would surprise me, really, you don't have any, you're good with whatever. I want things that, and I understand you can't, I have things that I feel strongly about, and voting is my way to voice how I feel about different topics and different issues, and I just encourage you to pray about your participation in the upcoming election, November 5th. Hey, we're up against the break. We're going to take a break, and we're going to come back. We're going to hear the results, Carla?
Yes, we are.
Of the recent survey put out there by the New Mexico Business Coalition. We'll be back with more after the break on ABQ Connect. Hey, a full hour today with Carla Sontag from the New Mexico Business Coalition, NMBiz, B-I-Z, NMBizCoalition.org. We mentioned in the first segment the survey put out there by the New Mexico Business Coalition. We'll walk through, I guess, some of the questions that were on it and the results. Coming up later in this hour, an op-ed that Carla, this was in the New Mexico Sun.
Yes.
And then we're going to hear more about an executive order by the President of the United States that its impact on this community and you. So we'll get to that later in the hour. But Carla, let's get back to the survey. Where are we headed next? The questions or the results or both?
Yes, we can talk about the results. It was interesting. So the very first question that we asked people, and again, I want to emphasize, this was not a push poll. We were not trying to shape opinions and pull out information we wanted to hear. We wanted objective opinions. And so the first question was, do they agree or disagree with, I am happy with the direction the city of Albuquerque is heading in? And there were 64% of people who did not agree with that.
I would like to ask I'd like to be able to visit with almost everyone that gave an answer to that. Why are you not? And maybe you did. And why are you okay?
Right. That would be interesting. No, we didn't delve into that. We just started that as a place. Are you happy or are you not?
Right. Yeah.
64% disagreed with the statement, and that is a lot. 50% strongly disagreed.
When I was in school, 64% was a D.
Yeah.
It was a D.
Right.
I'm just saying. I don't know if the grading has changed, but.
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. Everybody gets a trophy, it's changed.
Yeah. And I'm sorry I interrupted you. 50% strongly disagreeing that they're happy.
Right. And there were only 8% that strongly agreed it was going in the right direction.
Okay.
So now I've made it clear on your previous shows, I'm not happy.
Yeah.
I'm a native Albuquerque resident, born and raised here. And I now live with caution. I don't live in fear because I have the Lord, but I live with caution here in a way I never had to live before.
Yeah.
You know, you go grocery shopping and you come out with stuff and you wonder if your car's going to be there to put it in.
Right.
And then you wonder about your personal safety as well. And I just don't think that we should be living like that.
Yeah. You know, let me say this where we are with the safety issue in New Mexico and Albuquerque for sure. Head on a swivel. You should be on yellow or orange alert.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? Be aware of your surroundings and watch out for those around you as well. I had a thing this morning where I was in a place where I saw something that just didn't quite look right. And there was an elderly lady walking a couple dogs, you know, and I didn't engage her. I just from a distance kind of, you know, well, she'll be getting in her car soon. And just kind of, I hope I wasn't creepy guy. It was a pretty good distance. But you know what? Just watched.
Mm-hmm.
She's out by, you know, it's a beautiful morning. And, you know, it's a time where you don't anticipate really something happening based on, you know, two decades of history of when crimes are committed. But, you know, just be, you know, your neighbor has newspapers stacking up in the driveway. You know, maybe you could help them out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just keep an eye out for one another.
Yeah, we need to be way more cognizant of that than we ever have because we're not getting what we need.
Did I say newspapers? Does anyone do that anymore?
Well,
sorry.
Yeah.
I just aged myself, but anyway.
We stopped delivery. We still read the paper, but stopped hard delivery. And then we went on and asked specifically their opinion of Mayor Keller. There were 60% of the people who had an unfavorable opinion.
So there was multiple choice on that one?
Okay. Well, all
was,
of them.
Was any of this essay or was that question?
No, because this was done either by text, on the phone. That's how they typically reach them. They don't reach them by email.
Okay.
But that kind of follows with people not being happy with the direction of the city that's going in. They look at Mayor Keller as the leader of that. And so I think that's why there's such a high correlation there. Now, what was interesting, then we went through the different candidates and we asked what their opinion was. And many of them are primarily unknown. So Darren White had a little bit more, he was known a little bit more than some of the others, but he also had a higher negative rating than favorable on his known. The other candidates were very much unknown, including Alex Ubaez, who's a former U.S. attorney, which was interesting, largely unknown. But from that, so we asked them favorable opinion, unfavorable opinion, or unknown, and the unknowns were very high. Then we did a hypothetical head-to-head matchup with each of the six candidates against Keller. If the race were held today and it was head-to-head with Mayling Armijo or Louis Sanchez or whoever against the mayor, for whom would you vote? In every single case, they would vote for the other candidate than Keller, in spite of the fact that they don't know the candidates well. And that difference in opinion of who they would support was from 1% to 14%. So Eddie Varela, for example, would beat Keller head-to-head by 1%.
Yeah.
Alex Ubaez would beat him by 14%. And remember, this was early July when the poll was taken.
Right.
So we found it interesting. What we're seeing is that there is definitely a signal for change in Albuquerque, and the residents are not of the same opinion they were 4 years ago when they reelected the mayor. Now, a lot can change between now and November 5th.
Yeah, and for those not familiar, how does our mayoral election work?
Well, it is to be nonpartisan, and so they don't run by party. They all will be voted on at the same time. There will be seven candidates qualified for the ballot, and then there could be some write-ins. And you pick your favorite, and it is highly likely we're going to have a runoff race. They've got to have over 50% to be declared the mayor. And with that many candidates, it's highly unlikely that it will happen on November 5th.
Okay. All right. Now, the results that we covered here, and maybe there's probably more in depth than that. Is that available to?
Yes, it's all posted on the website at nmbizcoalition.org.
Okay. So go to, is that under maybe the voter information?
Yes.
Yeah, voter poll. Okay. Under that, you'll see the poll and you can go and look at it in detail, much more than what we covered here today. And we're up against a break. Any more on the poll?
No, I think that is the highlights.
All right. We're going to take a break and come back with more. We headed to the executive decision or the op-ed?
Yes, either one.
Okay. We're going to cover one or the other before the end of the hour. And one of them we'll get to after the break on ABQ Connect. Hey, full hour today with Carla Sontag from the New Mexico Business Coalition, nmbizcoalition.org. In the first couple of segments, we talked about a recent survey on the mayoral candidates, and you can find the results of that much more in-depth than what we covered here on the website, nmbizcoalition.org. At the top of the page, you'll see 2025 voter information, and the first thing on the drop-down is the mayoral voter poll. Click on that, and you can get more details. Well, you've been busy, Carla. It's been a little while since we visited. In your absence, you were able to get an op-ed, probably not for the first time, in the New Mexico Sun. What did you have to say?
Well, you know, at the time, I was talking about what was going on in Albuquerque. This was about mid-July that I wrote this, and it was because Trump had an executive order in January, not the one that we're going to talk about later, but that one was about trying to stop sanctuary cities.
Uh-huh.
And what he was going to do was pull funding from sanctuary cities, because what was happening, by having a sanctuary city, it was endangering other people.
So all federal funding, the executive order was going to nix that federal funding for sanctuary cities.
It was on the chopping block.
And are sanctuary cities always self-proclaimed?
Usually they are.
Yeah.
Usually they are, because they are either passing legislation that says they're a sanctuary state or city.
Right.
Or they are doing other things that...
Actions that would say...
Yeah, but okay. They generally will just say it.
Okay.
Now...
And to be clear, where does Albuquerque land?
Well, Albuquerque likes to call itself immigrant friendly.
Okay.
Not sanctuary.
Okay.
And
we're talking about the state. Let's talk about...
This is Albuquerque.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. And technically, that means that the city personnel and police will not inquire about citizenship status in the normal course of business. It's a little nuanced difference between sanctuary cities. But the problem, as I pointed out in my op-ed, in practice, Albuquerque is a sanctuary city. It goes much further than not having that inquiry. And the reason Albuquerque did this, and Steve, this has been in effect since my husband was on the police force. I mean, it goes back a lot of years.
More than a decade.
Yeah. It's so that if an immigrant is here and there is crime, that if they've become a victim or they have knowledge, they can go to the police and talk freely without fear of getting into trouble because they're not a legal resident here. Mm-hmm. That's immigrant friendly. But as I said, sanctuary takes it a little bit further. And in practice, that's what's happening. And the Trump administration and those people who work for the president are not ignorant to that fact.
Yeah. I mean, I would, as a layperson, I'd say, well, surely a sanctuary city is one where not just the people, not just the residents, but the people in elected positions are not cooperating with, for instance, right now, the ICE investigating and searching out
hardened criminals.
Well, primarily, their primary goal is to find illegal immigrants who have committed major crimes.
Exactly. And the problem with that is first of all, we don't have the policing going on in our state, and especially in the city of Albuquerque. And so when the feds want to come in and help, we should be accepting that assistance. Now, we saw that occur when Manny Gonzalez was sheriff. He did a joint operation with the feds, and it was highly successful. They found some people who, number one, shouldn't be in our country, but who were hardened criminals, and they got them out. And the streets were a little bit safer having gotten them out of Albuquerque. But our current mayor will not do that. And he is blocking every chance he gets the feds from coming in and providing assistance.
Oh, and has he said why?
Because he thinks that the people have more rights than to be threatened by that. My question is, well, what about the rest of us? Okay, why do the criminals have more rights than we do?
Yeah. Okay. So, I mean, there's human rights.
Yes, of course.
And we, you know, we obviously want to extend that to every person. But there's citizen rights.
Right. And we're not talking about, I mean, of course, they're going to treat them the way they need to be treating people with human rights.
I'm just clarifying rights because, you know, when someone comes and says, well, they have rights. Well, okay, let's be clear about what that means.
Yeah. We all have rights as humans, but we shouldn't put criminals' rights above citizens' rights. And that is really what it boils down to. And that is part of what is causing people to be so frustrated with what's going on in Albuquerque, because you see issues growing, homeless growing, and the issues that go with that and with the criminal element that has come into Albuquerque. And there's not a lot being done about it. So the Trump administration, when I wrote this op-ed, was saying, look, we give cities a lot of money, but we're questioning if we should continue doing that if you are protecting and harboring criminals over protecting your citizens.
Yeah. I can't do a very good Trump, but I imagine he said a lot.
Yes.
A lot.
I think that's a good way to put it. And so it was unfortunate. And that was the subject of my op-ed. And then there was more to follow. In fact, what just recently came out as of today, I believe, Trump went back through his list. They said he had way too many cities and states on the list.
They defined they.
The feds that were defining these cities and states as sanctuary.
Okay.
They had too many. So they've gone back and revamped it. But Albuquerque makes the cut again, first in the list of cities as being sanctuary.
Okay.
Tomato, tomato, it doesn't matter what you call it. This is a sanctuary place, and we are, in my opinion, violating citizens' rights by not protecting them and putting criminals' rights above our citizens.
Okay. Now, if someone wanted to read through the op-ed, where would they find that on the New Mexico Sun website?
Yes.
Okay. That by Carla Sontag, actually back about 10 days ago, or, you know, about a week and a half ago, July 22nd, was when that came out in the, which you can look for that. It's in that edition, July 22nd edition of the New Mexico Sun, and look on their website. Listen, full hour today with Carla Sontag with the New Mexico Business Coalition, and we have more to talk about. We mentioned an executive order in this segment, but there's another one from the President of the United States that we will address when we come back from the break on ABQ Connect. Full hour today with Carla Sontag from the New Mexico Business Coalition and Better Together New Mexico. That latter, we didn't give the website. It's you got to spell it all out, bettertogethernewmexico.org. And, of course, the New Mexico Business Coalition. And the first segment, we mentioned a survey they recently did. I want to redirect you to that so you can see the detailed results. NMBizCoalition.org under the tab 2025 Voter Information. That drop down right at the top, ABQ Mayor Vote Voter Poll. Click on that, and there's other information on that dropdown with candidates as well that are going to be on the ballot. Albuquerque Mayoral Candidates tab, the ABQ City Council candidates, and then there's on that same tab, you'll find the 60-day session State Senate scorecard and the scorecard for the House as well. So go to nmbizcoalition.org. Earlier in our conversation, I had mentioned, you know, with the state of things in Albuquerque and probably much of New Mexico, especially metropolitan areas like Las Cruces, Rio Rancho, Santa Fe, and Albuquerque, and yeah, some of the smaller communities, I'm sure, as well, including those that may, you know, be considered in the metro area, Belen, Los Lunas, and what have you. You know, head on a swivel, be on yellow or orange alert. And in talking about that, I also mentioned not only for someone or something that may do harm to you, but to others. And keep an eye on your neighbor in a good way. Don't be Snoopy Snoop, but keep an eye on them as far as making sure that they have what they need and they, you know, just consider them. And, you know, of course, we're called consider them more highly than ourselves, right? In doing that, let's consider those who don't have a voice yet and rely on our voice for their protection. And that, I'm speaking of the unborn. Our friends at the CareNet Pregnancy Centers of Albuquerque is preparing for a walk for life at Hoffmantown Church Saturday, August 23rd. It starts at 8 in the morning. You can go to their details for or their website for details on registration and what have you. But get out there. You can register that morning, but it's really better to register online at carenetabq.com. Do that in advance. And join the walk to fight the battle and save babies. It's as simple as that. CareNetABQ.com. So much appreciate what they do. CareNet Pregnancy Centers of Albuquerque, Walk for Life, August 23rd. CareNet, New Mexico Business Coalition, Better Together New Mexico, all organizations you hear on this show, and you'll find on our website at klyt.fm. We've really purposed to make it a working website that isn't just there with fluff. It's got stuff you can go to and find resources you need under organizations, all kinds of local organizations doing great, great work. Some of the churches that we've connected with, you know, we're just co-laboring through this together. And that includes you. And we appreciate the work that you do in this community as well as you listen. All right. Enough said. Carla, we talked about the survey. We talked about your op-ed in the New Mexico Sun. And now we teased about an executive order from the president. Another executive. It's beautiful. I'm sure it's beautiful.
Well, yes. And it's on the same subject of what we talked about earlier. But here's why. You know, KOB Channel 4 News ran a story relatively recently that Albuquerque ranks as the 20th most dangerous city in the world.
World. Global.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's dangerous. And there were only four cities in the U.S. that made the top 20.
Can I guess a couple, or do you know them?
I do.
I'm going to guess New Orleans, Detroit. I don't know.
This is surprising. You were correct with Detroit. The other two were Memphis and Baltimore.
Memphis is a little bit of a surprise.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, in Baltimore, too.
But did you see
Chicago and New York?
The Senator Blackburn from Tennessee announced that she's running for governor.
Oh, yeah.
So there you go.
Yeah.
Not that it impacts the New Mexico, anyway.
So here we have the safety issue, and it's being recognized worldwide, and it's being recognized again by the president. And so he looked at his list of sanctuary cities, and Albuquerque, of course, comes in again as a sanctuary city.
Oh, and related to this issue.
It is. Again, this new executive order came out on July 24th, right after I wrote my last op-ed. And this is about ending crime and disorder on American streets. Who would not want to see that happen?
Right.
Well, our mayor wouldn't want to see that happen because he's all against it. But they're talking about...
He's against the executive order from the president.
Yeah. Okay. And anything to do with the feds coming in to help us clean up this mess. This executive order is recognizing that the feds have failed to recognize the root cause of drug use and mental illness. Well, it's the same thing that's happening in these cities that have a big problem. They may be recognizing it, but they're not handling it effectively. And so what we're seeing is the people who need help are not getting sufficient help, number one.
Okay.
But it's endangering the rest of us.
Can I give you a chance to give a rebuttal to something someone might say?
Sure.
To defend what's happened here in Albuquerque, the park that, you know, right down near Kremlin and what have you, they shut it down. It was an encampment.
Yeah.
They shut that down.
Yeah. That's great. But all they did was displace those people. They're still living on the streets.
Yeah.
And still a problem to themselves and to the rest of us. Many of them have mental challenges or drug addiction, and either way, they need help. And so the executive order is saying, we want to help. And Mayor Keller is saying, no.
Are they specific about the help?
Yes. They're talking about, we want to give you money to help shift the focus into protecting the public through treatment and commitment rather than tolerance of street living. So they're giving the people on the streets a choice. Get help. Get arrested.
Yeah.
Get out. For the rest of us, and we outnumber them by a lot, although their numbers are growing, that makes us a safer community.
You know,
it makes it safer for these people as well.
I was never a cop. I was never a beat cop specifically. And I growing up and almost watching movies and cartoons and everything, it was like, you know, there'd be someone sleeping on a park bench with the newspaper covering them. Mm-hmm. And they would say, all right, move it along. Does that happen anymore?
No. You pointed out they closed that park. Yeah, they closed the park, but they just displaced the people.
Yeah.
And they're still everywhere. And the problem with being in a sanctuary city, you attract more. Manny Gonzalez, when he was running for mayor, coined a term, and he said, we've got bird feeder policies. As long as you continue to promote and allow this to happen, it'll attract more. You put out a bird feeder, the birds eat, and they go tell their friends, and all their friends come. That's what we have going on in the streets. We're not helping the people. We're attracting more people.
Yeah.
And these people are being allowed to live above the law. The reason I say that, the rest of us could not do what they are doing.
Yeah. Let me say this, and I often do when it comes to legislation or issues like homelessness or crime but I'm speaking to those who claim to trust and rely on the gospel of Jesus Christ, that our place as the church is to minister to those in need like this. And that includes, you know, feeding, housing, providing a place for them, to learn the skills they need to be independent. There's organizations, whether it's Steel Bridge or Joy Junction, no others are coming to mind, but there's Christian organizations that are geared towards, you know, helping that happen. And organizations like New Mexico Business Coalition and Better Together New Mexico, they provide us the information that we need to know that, you know, what's happening with issues, and they are nonprofit organizations that could use our support via not only financially, but prayer and your words of encouragement. So they know that people see that the work is, you know, sometimes you can be doing the work and think, does anyone even know?
What you pointed out is important. A lot of this work has typically been the responsibility of the church, not the government.
Yeah.
And with the church's focus, it's to help these people get back on their feet. We have another nonprofit that we don't talk about that has actually gone to Joy Junction, provided training for these people, trying to help them. We taught them business skills on how to interview, how to write a resume, how to show up and be an employee.
Yeah.
And we've had some success. And that's the difference. The government is not providing success.
Right. And quite honestly, over the years here in the United States, the church has doled out, or surrendered that responsibility to federal agencies. And
state and local.
Yeah. We would encourage you to prayerfully consider how you can be a part of reaching out into our community in these areas. Full hour today with Carla Sontag, the New Mexico Business Coalition, nmbizcoalition.org, bettertogethernewmexico.org, and bettertogethernewmexico.org. Carla, thanks for your time. Don't be away so long. Let's do this next month.
Sounds good.
All right. Thanks for listening to ABQ Connect.
ABQ Connect is a production of KLYT. The views expressed on ABQ Connect do not necessarily reflect the views of the staff or management of KLYT.